Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Can anybody say amen? Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Paul, Lord God, and all the things that he went through, Lord. We especially thank you for his transparency. We thank you for his encouragement this morning. Lord, your word is as relevant today as it was when it was written thousands of years ago. Hallelujah, and we thank you for that encouragement today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for reading the scriptures. Paul definitely is a transparent guy. He doesn't hide anything. Just telling you like it is. Even though he was a man of faith, he wasn't afraid to face the facts. See, faith is not facing the facts. You have to face the facts. And sometimes we think faith is avoiding the facts. We face the facts. We get to that place where I know what the facts are, but, right? You can't live in the I know. You got to live in the dot, 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 but. You guys out there? You know, there's so many rumors out there in our culture. There's so much noise. We literally are drowning in the opinions of other people. And there's not enough truth. Anybody agree with me? And Paul here is talking from the heart. He's like, okay, let me set the record straight this morning. I want to set the record straight here. This is what's going on. I want to let you know so you guys can pray for us. Let you know the testimony of what's happening so that you can join in. Because at the end here, he says they were granted incredible favor because of the prayers of many. Hallelujah. How many know prayer works? So Paul here was being transparent and talking from the heart. Now, how many know it does make a difference where your information comes from? Not everything you read on Instagram and Facebook is true. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true. You guys out there? Actually, most of the information on the internet is diluted or polluted. Isn't that true? Paul here is the source. He said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant. The Greek word ignorant really means uninformed. Uninformed. And literally uninformed could mean misinformed. Misinformed. How many know not all levels of dumb are the same? Are you guys out there? You realize that when you're talking to people, not all levels of dumb are the same, right? And but the interesting is people believe what they want to believe. And people believe what they want to believe. A lot of times they believe or they choose to believe what they want to believe because they don't want to have to obey God. Or they don't want to have to come to church, or they don't want to have to give. You know, people believe what they want to believe. And a lot of times their belief is an excuse for them to not move on and move forward with the Lord. It's the same way in politics. It's the same way people believe what they want to believe. And so there's three kinds of ignorance. There's innocent ignorance. The second one is there's uninformed ignorance. And the third is the worst. Confident ignorance. Confident ignorance, where you can't tell someone anything. You know, they think they know it all, you know, and you ask them a question, well, what if this? And have you considered this? Have you seen this? You know, the greatest way for us to grow in the Lord is what? Is to remain open and teachable. Open and teachable, because when we get to the place where we think we know everything, that is a dangerous place to be in. Well, I've been to a church before. I don't want to go to another church. You know, well, I've heard that sermon before. Well, I've heard that scripture preached 1,000 times. Is Pastor Bob quoting that scripture again? Oh, my gosh. Again. I can remember one time, I don't know if you know, Patsy Caminetti. She's a used to be called Patsy Bierman, and I was in Bible school, and I volunteered to answer the phones in the prayer center and pray with people. And it was fun to do, because you really got to put into practice what you were learning during class. You know, you definitely would get to the place where you would ask them, what scripture are you standing on? And if they didn't have a scripture, we would help them to find one. If they didn't have a scripture that they were standing on, we wouldn't actually pray with them. Because you got to stand on the word, right? Your foundation is going to be based on the word. And we would say, okay, we want you to look up that scripture, meditate on it, get it inside your heart, call us back tomorrow. Or call us back when you know inside you that scripture becomes alive and real to you. And that's how we would do things. If they had a scripture and they were standing on a scripture, then we would pray the prayer of agreement with them. Where two or more agree as touching anything that they ask, it will be done by our Father in heaven. The prayer of agreement is powerful. So that's basically what the prayer line was. But I can remember prior to that, before we would go in and sit in the individual rooms and pray with people, we would actually read the Bible together. And we were, as a group, along with the staff of the school, we were reading the yearly Through the Bible. Anybody know that book? We were reading the NIV. Everybody there was doing it. Like, I don't know how many staff members are, 300-400 people. Everybody was doing it. And so before we actually went in to pray with people, we would sit down with the staff, whether that be Keith Moore was there and Patsy Caminetti was there. We would sit down, and at that point, it was one of those long ones. You know, some of them, if you ever read that, it's a really good way to read through the Bible, if you've never read through the Bible, because it gives you a New Testament, Old Testament, Psalm, and Proverb every day, so that you don't get stuck in Leviticus, you know what I mean? And you don't get bored, right? So I remember it was one of those long ones, and it took a long time. And when we were finished reading, I was like, wow, man, that was a long one. And Patsy Caminetti, she goes, I could read the scripture all day. And I thought to myself, how unspiritual am I? little Bob, big Patsy. You know, she's like, you could tell she was obviously in love with God's word. Obviously, and it wasn't a super spiritual statement. It was just who she is. She was in love. She was well informed, and she definitely was not ignorant. She definitely was not teachable. But the thing is, what we have to get in is we've got to get in the know. You guys there? We've got to be informed. And Paul says, I don't want you to be misinformed. Paul wants you to know what he's been through. What he's been through. He says in verse 10, he says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again, that he even feared for his death. Now that is a pretty tough situation. He even contemplated ending it, it almost seems, through the scripture. You know, that's how distressed he was, how persecuted he was. But Paul is telling us that this hope does not come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from Jesus Christ. The hope that he's basing his faith in, and the hope that keeps him going, is the hope that God answers prayers and that God will deliver us again. Hallelujah. Will deliver us again. You know, it's so easy to forget the past. It's so easy to forget how God has delivered us, right? We put that aside, and the devil wants to minimize how God has delivered us. But Paul here is reminding the people and reminding himself that God will deliver us again because he has delivered us in the past. We will get through this. We will overcome. We don't trust in chariots and we don't trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We don't trust in our jobs. We don't trust in the government. We don't trust in the right or the left. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Are you out there? Amen. Hallelujah, because he's the one who delivers us. He's the one who is stable. I have my hope in him. I know. Sure, I know my circumstances. I know, but I am not nervous. I know. But I refuse to worry. I know, but I have been given a promise. I know, but I have my hope set on him and his word. Sure, I see the facts. Sure, I see the MRI. But I know that the Lord is my healer. Hallelujah. that he will deliver me. That I know that by his stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago. Thank God for the facts. Thank God for technology. Thank God for the MRI. But what I know is I know that the great physician not only lives in heaven, but he lives in me. Hallelujah. The healer lives in me. The peace of God lives in me. Hallelujah. I didn't see that coming, but I know. I know who the deliverer is. Sure, I'm without a job. I know that I'm without a job, but I'm not nervous because he is the Lord God who provides. He's the one who provides all of my needs according to his what? Riches in glory. I know. Come on. I know. Surely I've got property taxes. Well, if you didn't pay your property taxes by now, you're late. So you think to yourself, I know I got property taxes, but I know the Lord will honor me, hallelujah, and help supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I know I can pay those off. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Can you say amen out there? But Jesus, we only have 2 fish and 5 crackers. Jesus is like, I know. I know. I can work with that. Amen. I know we got not just 5,000. I know we probably got 10 or more thousand sitting here because they only counted the men. I know there's 10,000 people, but Lord, we only got 2 fish and 5 little crackers. We're not talking about big loaves of bread here, you know. You ever see the Sunday school pictures, the big 5 loaves of bread the kids carrying? Come on, it was his lunch. Guys, they were Triscuits. Are you out there? They were sardines and Triscuits. It was a miracle. Jesus is like, I know, but guess what? I know the God who created the food. And I know how to multiply it. Amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus, wake up. There's a storm raging on the sea. I know there's a storm raging on the sea. But Lord, if you don't do something, we're going to perish. We ain't going to perish. Do you know who's in the boat with you? Hallelujah. That storm raging on the sea, do you know what I can do? Do you know what I've done? Haven't you witnessed what I can done? Don't you know that all things are possible to those who believe? Don't you know that the God of the impossible is in the boat? Yeah, but Lord, you're sleeping. Well, maybe you guys should take a nap and not worry about it. Because I'm not going to let you drown. I didn't invest in you for years to let you drown out here. Come on. I know there's a storm raging. He says the same about your life. I know what you're going through. But what you're going through isn't new. What you're going through isn't exclusive to you. There's people from the beginning of time that have gone through what you're going through, and they were delivered from it. Why can't you be? Amen? Because God is no respecter of persons. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Amen? Come on, somebody say, I know. Come on, somebody say, I know. Say, no fear. I know, but I refuse to worry nor be anxious. I know the facts, but I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. Sure, I'm going to go in. I'm going to face it. See, we think faith is avoiding the fact. Or faith is not avoiding opening the bills, hoping that somehow they're going to get paid. Are you out there? You know the pile of bills that you don't open, you know? They kind of sit there. Closed, you know what I'm talking about? Faith is opening those things up and looking at those things. Come on, I've been there. We all been there. But I know my God will supply all of my needs. Look, I'm facing the fact, okay, I owe $100 and something for electricity. I owe this, I owe that. Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord says, well, I want you to pay your tithes. It's like, what? And the Lord is asking us, I want you to give your tithes. But Lord, if I pay my tithes, I won't pay all this off. Do you trust me? Do you think I can multiply that? Do you think I can cause more money to come your way from unexpected sources and blessing? Do you think that I can do something supernaturally and you receive an incredible bonus from your boss for Christmas? See, when you honor God, he honors you. Amen? Supernaturally, God work. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do it by faith. I know this is the facts, but Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to trust your word because you will never fail me. You will never fail me. I will go and I will face it. I am not nervous. I know that he has a plan. Amen? He has a plan and I have a purpose. I will not die young. I will live and fulfill the works of the Lord in my life. Amen? I will fulfill the will and the plan of God for my life. I tried nervous. I don't like it. You guys out there? I tried nervous. Every time I feel that anxiety coming up, I just quote the scripture, my favorite scripture. One of them, I says, I refuse to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, I make my requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Every time that anxiety comes up, every time I got to face something that I'm nervous about, that I know that I've got to face, I got to go to that meeting, you know, I got to go to that mayor's prayer breakfast and get up and pray for the mayor of Gresham. Do you think I'm nervous? Yeah, I'm nervous. I don't want to get up there and say something stupid. Hello? I can do it though. I can face these things. I can do what God's asked me to do. I can follow through. I don't like nervous. I tried it. It makes me irritable. I ate and I gained weight. You guys out there? It doesn't do any good for me. Refuse to be anxious. Does that mean anxiety won't come and nervousness won't come? Sure, it's going to come. It's an emotion that comes. We live in this world. But we speak to those things like Sevilla talked about. We say nervousness, anxiety, you must go. You will not dominate me. I know the facts. I see what's going on, but I refuse to settle for second best. I refuse to be anxious. Psalm 121. Turn to Psalm 121. What I love about God is seated on the throne and Jesus is seated at his right hand. And even though you're going through what you're going through, guess what? He remains seated. He's not nervous. As a matter of fact, it also says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's our position. We're seated with him. What does that seated position tell us? It tells us that he's not nervous. It tells us that he's confident and able to do all that he said he would do when we activate it by faith. And as we remain seated positionally in him, refusing to be nervous, refusing to give in to anxiety, that's what faith is all about. That shows the devil that you're confident in his ability and not in your own ability. Amen? When I pray and when I activate God's presence and I activate his power in my life, that's when I get up and I start to move. Well, Lord, I'm believing you for a job. Well, okay, pray, activate your faith. I know that I got bills. I know that I've been out of work for months. I'm going to believe you, Lord. Now I'm going to get up and I'm going to start applying for a job. Amen? Anybody ever been without a job? It can be tough. It can be tough. I ask some of my friends, hey, you're without a job. Well, how many applications did you fill out?
Two.
I'm thinking two? You should fill out at least 30 of them. I can remember going to Bible school, again, back in Oklahoma. I had a college degree. It wasn't worth much. You know, psychology wasn't worth much. You couldn't get a job back then, you know. But I had a college degree. And when I went to Oklahoma where the economy had tanked, This was in the 80s. And you go, and I remember living in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My finances were broken arrowed. Okay? I need some money, and I need a job. And I can remember I applied to 30, 40. I filled out that. That's when they didn't have the internet back then. You know, you had to, like, actually manually fill out the application. I applied to 30 or 40 different places, and finally I got a job because I'm determined that I'm going to go through school and I'm going to graduate. But I've got to pay for school somehow. I've got to pay for the apartment that we live in, you know. We rented a one-bedroom apartment. That's what we could afford. Me and another guy rented an apartment, and I literally slept on a mattress in the living room. That was the only furniture we had for a year. Are you out there? You just do what you got to do. You do what you got to do to get through. Too many young people, they want everything all at once, so let's just put it on a credit card. Like, are you serious? You got to do what you got to do in order to make it through, right? I got a job at McDonald's. Hallelujah. flipping burgers and I made $149 every 2 weeks. And my school bill was $200 a month. Would that leave me with about less than 100 bucks to live on? To this day, I don't know how I made it through. I tithed. I gave. Blessings came my way. People gave us money. Supernatural things happened. Extra side jobs. How many know God is good at side jobs? You know? I was just basically, I'm willing to do whatever. God, I'm willing to do. See, if you just sit around and just wait and wait and wait, just get up and say, God, I'm willing to do whatever. Whatever it takes. I'm going to take whatever job I need. Sure, you want to strategically wait for certain jobs and certain times. But if you need money, just go out and be willing to do whatever. Get the lawnmower out and start mowing lawns, young people. Are you out there? Well, I need money. Well, there's plenty of stuff to do. Guess what? There's leaves right now. Raking leaves will get you some money. You get out and do whatever you got to do. God, how many know God loves people that work? Can you say amen? And puts their hand to the plow and just goes for stuff. It's in motion that all of a sudden divine connections happen. But sitting cooped up, waiting for God to do something, he's not going to do something. God uses people that are in motion, moving forward. God can't move a parked car. I'm not worried. God is seated. He's not worried. And I'm seated. Look at Psalm 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? I'm not looking down at the situation. I'm looking up. Amen? I'm looking up at where God is. My eyes are up. You can tell somebody when they're depressed and they walk around, where are they looking? Always looking down. Got sadness on their face. Walking, you can tell. Even as you drive down the street, go downtown, go to Gresham Station, you look at people walking. You can tell they're depressed just by where they're looking. But you can tell someone who has confidence, they're up. They're looking around. They're smiling. They have confidence. You know, they may be going through some circumstances, but you wouldn't ever know it. Acting confidently. It says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you, will not slumber. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. How many know God's always awake? God's always awake. Somebody say, yeah, I'm always awake too. I work till 3 a.m. I'm always awake. Hallelujah. God never sleeps. That means you can ask him anything at any time. Isn't it be nice to have a glorified body where we don't have to sleep someday? We get to sleep though, you know, get to rest, get to sleep because we're going to have houses. I'm sure there's going to be like incredible mattresses in there and stuff like that. But you know, it's kind of like eating when we go to heaven, we won't have to eat, we get to eat. But because we have glorified bodies, we're not going to have to sleep. Be pretty amazing. God's never sleeping. What is he doing? He's actually singing over you, worshiping over you. Jesus is forever making intercession over you, believing the best for you, trying to set up divine connections, trying to move you here and there and meet this person and do this and find this website and get this connection. Why? Because God is trying to move you forward, trying to push you forward, trying to get you out of the I know and get you to the dot, 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 but. Get to that dot, 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 but. It says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Famous psalm. I know you're worried about your teenager, but I know that you may be worried about the future of our country, but God has got it in control. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again, Just going back there, here's Paul. Paul had gone through so much, and if anyone had any excuse to quit, he did. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was kicked out of cities. He was thrown in jail. Paul could have said, that's it. That's enough. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go hide myself somewhere. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to train pastors anymore. I don't want to build churches anymore. I don't want to witness for you. I'm not going to those Greek islands anymore. I'm not going to Athens. I'm not going to these places anymore. I quit. Paul could have easily quit. Writing did so much concerning the gospel, hearing from the Lord, writing down these letters that became our word that we read, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Paul always went back to the hope that he set his life in. In verse 10, he says, on him, not on my 401k, on him, not on my savings, or not on my wife, or my husband, or my relationships, or my parents, or on him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. I mean, I know your prayers are important. Prayers for the saints are important. And verse 11, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. The many at City Park Church will give thanks. The prayers of City Park Church will help to deliver you and to set you free. Do you know we pray for you every week? Every week, prayers go up for you, whether that be Thursday morning men's prayer or Thursday morning prayer for the ladies or prayer during the week or prayer in the morning times. Sibylle and Carolyn, they pray over every chair in the morning time. There's prayer covered in this whole building for you. You don't even know what answers to your prayer you're going to get when you walk out of here because God's just going to just inundate you with blessing. Hallelujah. It says, for the gracious favor. You know what gracious favor is? Unusual favor. Hallelujah. Unusual blessings. Unusual gifts. Things you didn't even plan for, God's got for you. Amen. Are you open for that? Anybody want some unusual opportunities? Beyond your ability, your education, your doctorate degree, or whatever, God's got something amazing for you. Answers to your prayers. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and then we'll end today. And Hebrews chapter 6. This hope, we have this hope as what? An anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. Firm and secure. And then we go back to the scripture, Colossians 1:27. This was the first scripture that I preached on 2 years ago when we moved into this building. They were changing the culture of a city with the message of hope. Colossians 1:27, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody said, Lord, when are you going to deliver me? He has. When will you provide for me? He already has. When will you heal me? Already done. Everything that he's ever going to do, Jesus already accomplished it by the stripes that were laid on his back and by the death of the cross. He went to hell for you. He took care of all your sin. And he rose again and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting up there confidently. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. Amen? That's our spiritual position. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We are God carriers. We carry around his deliverance. We carry around his strength. We carry around the ability to resist sin. We carry around the power of God that lives in us. There's one thing as we worship God, the manifest presence of God in a corporate setting. But as we leave here, we've sensed that manifest presence of God and the peace of God. But we leave here with that presence in us. He lives in us. When you truly have asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you became a new creation. All old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. You've got in you the power to say no. You've got in you the power to move forward. In you the power to heal others, to lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. You've got in you the wisdom of God to follow the plan of God for your life wherever you go. You've got in you the power to say no to drugs, alcohol, and addiction. You've got in you the power to be the parent God wants you to be the business owner, and to be successful. You've got the wisdom of God living inside of you, the hope of glory. We go from glory to glory to glory. We'll never be the same. Never be the same. Amen? From glory to glory. Now, a lot of times that road isn't a straight road. Did you notice that? A lot of times from glory to glory, there's going to be curves and corners and distractions, and we all go through it. But you need to know that once you turn that corner and you make that corner, there's an amazing view to be had. Do you ever notice that? I remember hiking when I was a kid. And one of the things about hiking in the mountains is there's always got to be a destination to go to, or you feel like you've never hiked for us. If you're always like here in the trees, it can be dark, you know. It can be wet, you know. But what you're looking for is you're looking for the clearing up ahead. You're looking for that hope that your eyes will be open to the mountain ranges and the snow-capped peaks out in the distance. And I can remember hiking for hours with family. Or I was a Boy Scout, guys, for 5 years. You know, hiking with the Boy Scouts in the trees. And all of a sudden, you kind of look ahead, and you're hiking up that trail, and you think, maybe there's a view up there. And you turn the corner, and there's no view. There's more trees. And you think, it all looks deceiving sometimes. You ever notice that? Oh, there's another corner. Maybe I can see the view through there. And you hike up a little ways. There's no view. You know, you're trying to look through the trees. You climb out on the rock, you know, can't see anything. But all of a sudden, you know, the people, the leaders are telling you, like when you're a Boy Scout, there's a really good view at the top. It's a really good view. And all of a sudden, you break through. You turn that corner and you break through, and you can see that mountain. You can see the trees. You can see beyond the trees. You can see the valley below. The sun begins to shine. And all of a sudden, the glory of God is revealed. The problem is we quit too soon. We stop too soon on the trail. Because glory to glory is not a straight line. Are you out there? There's going to be twists and there's going to be turns and there's going to be challenges and there's going to be bad reports, and the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to take your life. The devil wants to take your strength. He wants to take your money. He wants to take your family. He's going to do everything he can to fight against you. But you need to know that you should not be ignorant of the devil's devices, that greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. The hope of glory lives in you. The greater one lives in me. Hallelujah. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. So wherever I go, whatever path that I'm on, whatever winding road that I'm on, anybody travel down 101, you're traveling like from Cannon Beach down towards Rockaway Beach. And you go through the trees and you can see a little glimpse of the ocean, you know, and you don't want to stop because there's cars behind you. Then all of a sudden you get up there on Niakani, is that what mountain right there that overlooks down into Manzanita? And you come out on the top of that little overlook there and you look south down the coast. It's the most incredible view. And you stop, and every time we stop there, you're overwhelmed by that overlook. And I love taking new people there. We take our relatives there. We took our nephew there from Germany. You always want to stop there. And my anticipation is I can't wait to get up there and park. And you got to get out of the car. You got to walk over to the wall, right? Once they walk over the wall and I'm looking at them and I see their eyes open like, whoa. It's a joy to see others see what we've seen. Amen. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to say, come on, don't stop. Get out of the car, walk over to the edge, and take a look at what I have for you. Don't quit. Don't allow the lies. Don't allow the facts to stop you from getting out of the I know and getting to the dot, 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 but. I know. God is bigger. Amen? We have a video that I want to show you, a song that fits with this message. You guys ready with that? Turn the lights off. Stage off.
Trying to make it on faith in a struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places. Oh, but I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, out of me, fight. There's hope in front of me. There's a finally find.
all stand up. I know, but some of us can turn that around. We can say, I know about God and I know the power of God, but Pastor Bob, you don't know my circumstances. I may not know, but God knows. So you've got to turn the I know but around. Okay, sure, I know the facts and God knows the facts, but I know what God's word says and I know what his promises are. So you've got to get out of that first I know but and you've got to get into the second I know but. Because excuses will always hold you back from moving forward in your life and with God. No excuses. God is forever moving forward and he wants you to come with him. Always moving forward. There's always an exciting adventure. There's always another view to be had, another ocean to see, another mountain peak to witness. There's always something new. The worst thing you can do in your Christianity is become stagnant in your growth. Become stagnant in your relationship with him and just rely upon the past and not see the adventure for what it is, because there's more to be had. There's more to know. There's more adventure. There's more life. And the biggest lie is that you know it all, or you think you know it all. It's the worst place to be. So Father, let's pray. Grab the hand of somebody next to you. Father, we just thank you for these people today. And I pray a blessing over their lives. Lord, you know the facts. You know what's going on in their lives. You know what's going on in their head. You can read our minds, God. You know what we think about. You know what we dream about. You know what the bottom line of our checkbook looks like, or our investments. You know what the doctor has said. You know what's happening in our marriages. You know what's happening, God. And I just thank you, Lord. We know too, but we refuse to settle. So, Father God, we just thank you. And we together lift up our voices. Come on. We together lift up our voices in prayers for the saints this morning, as they did in Paul's day. And they saw many things happen. Deliverance happened. Many prayers answered. So, God, we lift up our voices for the people in this place. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, Lord, that anxiety, nervousness has to go. We thank you, Lord, for finances. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing impossible to you and those who believe. So, Lord, this morning we pray and we activate our faith. And we ask you, Lord, to supply our needs. We thank you, Lord, you've healed our bodies. We thank you, Lord, you have set us free from addiction. We thank you, Lord, that we refuse to yield, Lord. We know that you live in us and you are the hope of glory. You live in us, God. We call upon that power on the inside to come forth. Holy Spirit, who lives in us, we are your temple, and we thank you. The power of God that lives in us will come forth. We activate that power. We activate our faith, knowing that the God of the impossible lives in each and every one of us. So we thank you for that, God. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. This Christmas season will be the best ever. There'll be more peace in our homes than we've ever experienced. More connection with relatives and friends than we've ever known. It'll be the best Christmas season we've ever had as we celebrate you and put you first in our lives and in our homes, God. Hallelujah. I thank you for reconciliation. I thank you for reunions with old friends. I thank you, Lord God, for supernatural ability to witness to people and to share your love, God. Still in a restaurant. I just thank you, Lord, you use us in a mighty way, God. This Christmas, Lord, as we don't only think about ourselves, but we think about others. So we praise you for that, God, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Somebody turn to somebody, give them a hug, give them a high five, and you can be seated. We're going to ask the kids if someone will go tell the kids to come on in. Come on in. While the kids are coming in, let me give you some announcements real quick. We'll have Carolyn do it next week, and she was supposed to do the announcements, but I know she doesn't mind. Youth is Wednesday night. We will have youth for the next couple weeks, and then we'll take a break during the Christmas week holidays. And we will have our support groups Tuesday night, groups that are going on for parents and for those dealing with addiction. There's two groups that happen on Tuesday nights. Next week is a great time to come and eat, but also to get some free food. Anybody like free food? Chili and cornbread. That's like Jan's homemade cornbread, right? So we'll set it up downstairs. It's a great time to invite someone to come. Invite a family. Invite a friend to come and have some lunch after service. If you're here for the first time also, we would love to give you a free coffee downstairs. Free coffee or mocha on your way out. So just, they have a little card for you to fill out. You can get one of those and fill that out and just hand it to the baristas downstairs. We have really good coffee downstairs. We got any specials going on? Next week? Ooh, peppermint mocha next week. All right. I have a coffee every morning, and it's good, okay? And if you looked at our prices, it's like half of what Starbucks charges. Literally. Literally half. And it's good coffee. So as the kids are coming in, keep. Hallelujah. All right, we are going to start this Christmas season. First and foremost, you know, you can never underestimate the talent of Kara and Michaela, okay? And Don. I'm sorry, Don. Forgive me. Don, it took him 6 hours to put these lights on. Now, you may think, 6 hours? Why is anybody spending 6 hours putting lights on? Well, it's not just...